famous rock star when I'm not rocking out on the stage. I'm eating a delicious burrito from Freebird World Burritos. The burritos are tasty. They're delicious. They use the finest meats and vegetables in the burritos. The ingredients are so fresh, they might get hit on by my roadies. They're taking care of the community! Taking care of the Susan G. Komen Foundation and Harvesters. Helping you feel better about eating that burrito. Come on. It's Freebird World Burritos. 61st and Metcalf, opening July 12th. Buy a couple of big-ass burritos on the way to come see me, the famous rock star. Freebird! 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 Wow! Freebird World Burritos. Eat it.
Action buttons over there. We're trying to introduce people.
We're professional.
It happens all the time.
Okay, go ahead, Craig. Sorry.
So we decided that we'd make the move. The Royal Man Report. We even have a sponsor now.
Kelly's Westport Inn with Jeff Herr.
I'm the back to baseball guy.
Michael Engel.
They call themselves the Kings of Kaufman.
Chris Kamler, who is the producer.
All right, stand by.
And Troy Olson. And now, the Royal Man Report.
Which is this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane. Sunshine, attention, ladies and gents of the jury, I bought this machine, so I can tell you the story. I submit it as evidence, all of your ears, you can shout it to Parliament.
Big good blog. We'll see. We're going to try hard.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm real excited about it. My name's Troy Olson. You may, if you go to a lot of Royals games, you may know me as Casey Royal Man. I'm the idiot that wears tights and a cape to a baseball game. Started out as a joke. I was going to let it go after a couple of months, and it caught on Twitter. And here I am, 3 years later, doing it. Because of it, I got tied up with the guys on 1510 of Three Guys in a Garage. Jay Binkley, who's now on the Big Show on 610. He kind of took me under his wing. He liked me as part of their show. There came a time when there wasn't a need for me any longer, and I saw how they did it. They started out literally in their garage and went to 1510 and then got a spot on 810, and now Jay's at 610. Well, while they were at 810, I decided that I wanted to take Jay's road, and I started a show in a studio. I was looking for a co-host at the time. And lo and behold, Kings of Kaufman, Michael Engel, is looking for a podcast. And so that's how we ended up starting that. I'm going to go ahead and stop there on mine. Mike, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about Kings of Kaufman.
Sure. My name is Mike Engel. I'm the editor of Kings of Kaufman. Chris likes to add titles.
Chief Financial Officer.
Yep.
Chief Executive
Grand
Officer.
Grand Poobah.
It was really funny the first two times.
Shut up.
I started there in March of 2010. I'd just been laid off. Wanted to get a lot of Royals information for spring training and saw that they were looking for contributing writers. And then in May, I took over as the editor of the site. And you know, we pushed it to the point where we're here. And we've done some things with Baseball Prospectus and added this podcast. And we've talked with Kevin Goldstein, who you heard from earlier, and Jason Parks and all kinds of other baseball people. And it's put me in a pretty cool spot to where, you know, we can come out and cover the All-Star game like this.
And then I added to the podcast, I added Chris Kamler. Like I said, we needed a funny guy. You did not just cut my mic. He was...
I do it all the time.
I know. He's on Twitter as the fake Ned if you do the Twitter thing. And he's got lots of followers and lots of funny. And so we needed some funny, and he was good on the show. We had him on a couple of times, and he became a member of our team. Chris, you want to talk about you?
Not particularly, no. I had my own spotlight earlier. That was pretty cool.
So Chris,
I got a dumb little Twitter account, and we now record 3 podcasts out of my basement on Sundays, and we have way more fun than we're legally allowed to have. We just have a lot of fun. I never had a poker night or a guy's night or anything like that. And so these are the guys I invite over every Sunday, and for better or for worse, usually for worse, hilarity ensues. So,
And Jeff was the last guy we brought in. He had actually wrote for Mike. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on him and then let him talk about himself. But he had wrote for Mike, so that's how we knew him. He had guest hosted one of our shows. We knew we were going to need some football people to keep our show going year-round. We were going to be a baseball and football show because that's what Kansas City is a baseball-football town. Sorry, soccer fans. It's kind of cool, and it's hip, and it's happening right now. We'll see 5 years from now. So Jeff joined us, and him and I and Chris all went out for the big gig from 610. None of us obviously made it, but Jeff, how far did you get on that?
I was actually a finalist, and that's kind of – it was my experience on the Royal Man Report that kind of spurred me to go out and try for it anyway. But because I was writing for Michael's site, and he said they needed a host, like Troy said, and so I said, I'll do it for a week or whatever. And then they were like, well, you can come back again next week. And then they just kind of kept saying that eventually. It just made me a kind of permanent part of the crew. But, I tried out for 610, and then I was a finalist, so I was on the air with Nick Wright when he was still here for an hour when I got to do that. So that was a really cool experience. Obviously didn't win, but after they announced who the winner was, they asked me to kind of stay on in some capacity to blog for their site. So I blog for 610 Radio, their website right now. I do a post a week for them. So.
And we had on the owner, I guess, or I don't know what you'd call him, of the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society one time on our show. He was so impressed with what we do, he wanted to do a radio show of his own. He actually went out and paid for an hour on 1510 from I don't know what we've been doing that 3 months now.
Nine episodes.
So we've been doing it for just over 2 months. We've been on 1510 Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. We'll be on there through September. And he's paying a lot of money. He's got a few sponsors, but he's allowing us to be part of it. So right now, I am on the exact road that I wanted to be on. We went from the basement to 1510. So now we just gotta figure out a way to get 810 or 610 to actually give us a look. But that's our plan. So kind of what we're gonna do at this point is open it up to you guys. We have a mic down there. You can pass it around. You can come up to it. You can yell at us if you don't want to move. We wouldn't blame you. You can ask us any questions about blogging. You can ask us, Royals-related questions. Just whatever you want. You can direct it to whoever.
Otherwise, Troy will sing. So
yeah, if you leave the time open, I'm just going to sit here and talk, and it's not going to be a good thing. So,
nope.
So I'll direct it out. Anybody in the audience have a question about blogging or podcasting or the Royals or anything else? Go ahead.
Yeah. Funny you say that. Michael Engel is actually a trained synchronized swimmer. He just has no partner right now. It's quite sad, actually.
It really is.
Sometimes
he comes in the studio just like this. I'm like, aw, there's a sad guy.
And that's a funnier joke to us because for the longest time, Mike was the single one in the group. And he's recently got a girlfriend, and she's pretty fantastic on top of that. So the jokes
don't
work really
as
well
in my parents' basement anymore. So
yeah,
that's,
exactly.
Moving up.
But, no, when we added football, we didn't – I shouldn't say we. I didn't know the direction I wanted for the show. And at that time, it was definitely my baby, and Mike was really helping me with it. But it was something that I was really driving. And now I think it's kind of got a life of its own, and it's just driven by the community that has become part of it. We have a chat room on Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. typically, and there'll be people in there. We'll ask questions. We've had J.J. Piccolo on. We ask questions right out of our chat room for Piccolo. We've had Danny Duffy on, ask questions right out of there. It's been a great experience for us, a great opportunity for us to hear the fans' voice to Kansas City.
And when I first came on, it was last fall, and so they had kept the show going, past the season when they brought me on, and then we had football, so we still talked about just pretty much all Royals, and then at the end it was kind of just we'd throw in a few minutes where we'd talk about the Chiefs, because it was usually on Sundays, so the Chiefs had just had a game, and that was obviously one of the big topics around the city, and then it kind of blew up from there to where we even, in the off season. We even had an entire show related to just the Chiefs where we had Kent Babb from the Kansas City Star came on. He came in studio to talk about the big article that he wrote, Arrowhead Anxiety, that got a lot of pub on that. So it's something that, like you said, it just kind of evolved organically to the point where, if it was something like if Kansas City ever became a bastion for synchronized swimming, it would probably have a place in the show. We'd develop it a little
really
bit
nice
more.
Callback too.
I mean,
nice
I took nice a knock too. On soccer in the beginning, but in all seriousness, I was talking to a guy last night about coming on our show with soccer updates and stuff. But our show's evolving all the time. Yeah, I talked to a guy last night at the bar, so we'll see if that actually happens. But the Chiefs laid such an egg last year that they weren't even worth talking about. It was harder to talk about them last year than it was to talk about the Royals offseason because there was so much potential. So we ended up talking a lot of baseball and kind of left the football out of it. But this year, we're going to go full bore into it because I guess this isn't official or hasn't really been announced yet, but the plan is to have an hour or an hour and a half like we have of the Royal Man Report and an hour of football talk and kind of split away from our four-host format and split it down a little bit and into a couple different shows. So we'll see if that – and, and like he said, if there was enough people that cared enough about synchronized swimming to do a podcast, we probably would. The only thing we've never
– I would actually do a synchronized swimming show.
The only thing we've never wanted to touch is college football because it's so volatile in this area. And, yes, it's easy to talk about. But I don't know that you – I would want to have a Mizzou guy and a KU guy and a K-State guy all in the same – in the room just to yell at each other for an hour because I think that's – probably how it would end up breaking down.
I would watch that show.
Because we're really not set up for like a call-in show or anything like that. So, and you can get that from the normal radio guys like Danny Parkins and Carrington Harrison. They're on from 10 to 2 on 610 radio.
Nice plug. So,
yeah. I saw them sneak in the back there. They're actually good friends of the program. They've always been very good to us, so give them a shout. Anybody else? We really have to fill
in
that
question for Craig Brown from Royals Authority.
From Royals Review.
Sorry. From the notkingsofkaufman.com website. Odorizzi and Will Myers. October, August, September, July. When do they come up?
I think we'll see Will Myers come up first. I know that there was some talk about maybe Odorizzi leapfrogging him. I think it's Myers that comes up. I think Myers jumps ahead of Lorenzo Cain in the pecking order. This is my just prediction. So you'll see an outfield of Gordon, Myers, and Francoeur because we love Frenchie, and he's not going anywhere. So
why do we love Frenchie?
Because he's a leader.
Because he throws $100 baseballs in the crowd. He mucks it up with guys.
He loves Bacon Tuesday. Why would he not like?
Who would not like Bacon Tuesday?
I mean, what do the Royals want us to talk about? Do they want us to talk about their miserable offense, their lack of starting pitching, or do they want us to talk about Jeff Francoeur on Bacon Tuesday in Oakland or whatever? So, and I don't think that they can get for him what they would like to get for him as far as, like, any kind of value, I think, because of his contract and his performance. And then I think Odorizzi will come up pretty close behind, maybe August. I think it's really important because I think that both these guys need to get the major league experience the last 2 months of the season if the Royals are going to do anything to target 2013.
And we're all in agreement that Super 2's over, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So All-Star break.
That ship
done.
Has sailed.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Will Myers stays up after the All-Star break, or does he go back down for a little while?
I don't think that you should ever do that to a prospect like Will Myers. I mean, I think it's he's up, and you keep him up. Are you saying send him down?
No, I'm saying, so he's playing in the futures game. Does he show up here at this next homestand, whatever it is, Thursday or Friday? Is he in the lineup Thursday or Friday in a Kansas City Royals uniform? Not a futures uniform, but a Kansas City Royals uniform. Is he part of our team? Because that's what I said. That's my belief, is that they're going to keep him here.
Nope.
I would really like that. I think he's ready. I think that, will the Royals do it? Hard to say. They have that open spot on the 40-man roster. They picked up Adam Moore and filled one of their open spots, right? The catcher from Seattle, which was kind of a head scratcher.
Aren't they all though?
Yeah.
But I think that if he's not up at the end of the break, I think he's up before the end of the month. So that gives you a 2-week window. So you have your margin of error if you're going to make a prediction and say the 16th of July or whatever. You have a 2-week margin of error, plus or minus, I think, to as to when he'll actually get here.
Did I see a question out there?
Yes.
Grog?
What's realistic trade going with Rock? I know there's talk
Well, I mean, Dayton's done something like that before with Farnsworth and Ankiel. You know, I mean, I didn't think that he'd be able to get any kind of value for him, and we got Tim Collins. So, you know, that's a great trade, in my opinion. You know, he also was able to swing Octavio Dotel for Kyle Davies. You know,
that guy's a great trade. I'm so excited. Kyle Davies was here for 10 years, it seemed like.
You know, I mean, Dotel, you had 2 months of him, and you get a guy like Davies. Yeah, Davies is awful. But there's always the potential there, you know, that at the time that he was an arm that, you know, had a little bit of back of the rotation potential.
Great stuff.
Oh, he has great stuff.
High upside. They love these high upside guys, the Jonathan Sanchez, the Kyle Davies of the world.
But if you ask me if I'd make that trade again, I'd make that trade again. I mean, just because you're not going to get anything really for Dotel at that stage, right? I mean, if you want a guy in the major leagues that is a pitcher, you know, I mean, so I think that it would be a back of the rotation starter if they can swing something like that. Otherwise, you hope for like a triple-A kind of prospect, right? I mean, like a fringy guy that might be able to make that jump and get into the rotation right away.
Staying with that kind of idea there, and I'll shoot this to both of you. There was a thought, I guess, from ESPN that Texas may be interested in Tim Collins, Tiny Tim, and they've got lots of pitching at the triple-A level, at the pro level. You know, could Tiny Tim bring something like a Tanner Schleps or somebody like that, or am I still shooting way too high with that?
I don't know. It's really weird because last year they traded for Mike Adams, just set up guy from San Diego, and they traded two solid arms, two top 10 arms in their system to get that guy, just to get somebody to bridge it to Neftali Feliz. So you could see something like that where they just want to overpay to get the guy that they want to get. And Tim Collins has been pitching well, and he's striking. I think he still leads relief pitchers in strikeouts, and he hasn't walked nearly as many as he did last year. He's struggled a little bit recently, but you know, still he's a guy who can throw two innings for you if you need him to. He can come in and get two guys out. He's pretty good against right-handed batters. He's all right against left-handed batters. So, yeah, that guy has some value. He's young. They're still going to have him for years and years. So it could be something where they would do that. I don't know how committed they are in the market. You know, there's, you know, left-handers are always in demand. So it could be something that you know, a top pitching prospect could come over. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it. I mean, it's all just kind of those rumblings that you hear about.
Because this bullpen is packed. I mean, that's just – they've got plenty, and they need arms in the, you know, in the rotation. So you got to do something. Anybody else got a question, or I'll keep working from. What do you got? Player right now on the Royals will have the best career when it's all said and done.
Perez,
Craig.
I'll stick with Hosmer, because he's not the obvious pick right now. But I mean, I think that. He'll turn it around, and I still think that he has the ceiling of like potential MVP type guy, top five MVP finisher, you know, when he gets to his real prime.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I mean, coming out of high school, he was one of the best high school bats in the draft, and you know, he's done nothing up until this year to really dissuade anybody from thinking that. And this year has been a lot of struggles, and his approach is weird, but the upside is incredible. I mean, he's even struggling, he's still one of the top producers on this team at the plate. He's got some things to work on defensively, but you know, he's also a guy who can steal some bases, so he's well-rounded in ways that Mike Moustakas might not be. Now, Moose has done extremely well, and you know, I think some of his struggles early last year and some of them as he's jumped into new levels in the minor leagues has made some people think that, okay, maybe he's someone who doesn't have the same upside, but he's shown this year that you know, he's got 30 home run power. And
his question was the best Royal to play. You really think that both of those guys will be better than Salvador Perez?
Actually, I was going to –
we're talking about like Hall of – Royals
I was going to chime in.
Famer,
I was going to chime in on your point here to what you're saying. I think that's incredibly valid, because I agree with them that I think on our roster right now, you look at someone like Eric Hosmer, if he can hit even close to a ceiling, he's going to be the best player out of all of them. But then when you look back, you know, 15 years from now, and you look back at the past 15 years, who's, even if Hosmer were to stay all 15 years, the player who means the most to this organization could very well be Salvador Perez. And I think Perez has a better chance of meaning more to this team than Hosmer does.
I'm ready to retire Perez's jersey right now.
I love Sal.
The problem with
my favorite player. He's been on the roster for less than three months altogether.
You're right.
And I mean, I love the guy.
And of course, Joe Hamrahi, he's down there jumping up and down. He thinks Sal Perez, too.
Yeah,
you know, Kevin Goldstein made a point, though, that he's already had knee surgery. And, you know, how young is he? And so how long can his knees hold up? And, you know, if he becomes a DH, you know, or if we have to change him to – you can't change him to first base. So he'd have to be a permanent DH. So he'd have to be post-Billy Butler at that point. You'd hope that he could last that long. I don't know. I'm going to go with Alcides Escobar. I think he has – I think him and Sal have the most chance of being a long-term Royal, so being the best Royal on the team in the aspect that they're a Royal a long time. You know, there's always going to be the cloud until they're signed that Hosmer and Moustakas are going to leave us because they're Boris clients, because they're going to produce great numbers, and because they're not locked up right now. You look at the contracts we have with Escobar and Perez, it allows you to really buy those jerseys and think that those guys are going to be long-time Royals and be great Royals. And Escobar is hitting all of a sudden, and his defense isn't going to go anywhere anytime soon. And he could, you know, win Golden Gloves here in Kansas City. And, you know, outside of Alex Gordon, we hadn't had one in how many years? You know, it's been insane. So I really think that Escobar is going to be the best Royal because of his defense that we currently have. I think he'll be the best Royal because he'll be here a long time. Any other – what'd you got? I'm going to take this one first.
How much alcohol do you have?
You know, if Dayton Moore and Glass really get together and decide that they're going to do something, they go out and sign a big name, whoever you want to put in there. I've heard Markham doesn't want to come back because he doesn't want to be easily identified and people know him here. And, you know, does Greinke want to come back? But a lot of teams are out on Greinke now because he just seems to have more and more head issues all the time. And so I was talking to Kevin Goldstein, and Goldstein's like, yeah, teams are just – they don't want any part of that. So maybe Greinke falls back to us, but even Goldstein wouldn't bite on that last night when we were talking about it. So I don't know. I think you get a mid-level free agent, whoever it might be. It won't be one of the top-tier guys. And then maybe we trade and get a Tanner Schweppes type, so you kind of got that. And then, I don't know, Bruce Chen looks good, which I don't think will happen. No, I can't do it.
I mean,
I can't.
I think,
and I'm freaking Casey Royal, man, and I can't do it. So, Greg, you want to take a shot, or Jeff, you want to take a shot at this?
Well, I think one of the realities that we have to come to grips with, at least at this point, looking at spring of 2013, is that if we want a rosy scenario, it's for the pitching staff, it's going to be not as rosy somewhere else because we've got, in order to get something, you got to give up something. So, if we want a top flight pitcher, then you know it's going to be no more Eric Hosmer, it's going to be no more Will Myers, or somebody like that is going to have to be traded, you know, and there's going to be some sort of package where we lose these prospects that we're all excited about. So, you know, rosiest scenario of, you know, with keeping kind of what we have here, if you want to keep Will Myers or something, you know, your rosiest scenario is that you put Aaron Crow in the rotation and he is serviceable and Bruce Chen can somehow keep some of his magic going and keep an ERA below 5. And, you know, I think Odorizzi, he's going to be up at some point this year. And if he's in there starting, I mean, if he comes up for a month at the end of the season and does well, I mean, and then has a good spring training next year, could Odorizzi be the opening day starter? I mean, I don't know if we had anybody else that would beat him out.
What?
So, I mean.
Have you seen this pitching staff, Chris? They are.
I mean, that's the point, though. That's like, how ridiculous is that statement? And that's exactly the
point.
If
you squint really hard, it looks...
You turn sideways.
No, we can't do it, man. I'm sorry.
Move along. Greg, Mike, do you guys have a scenario that turns out that isn't just trying to shine up a turd?
What's discouraging is that this year the Central's in play, right? I mean, if the Royals had one starting pitcher that was like a quality guy, like not an ace, like a number two and a half, three... You know, you're looking at a different team, perhaps. I think that they're two, probably three starting pitchers away from making any kind of noise, but that was the situation they were in, you know, going into spring training this year. So they're going to have to go outside and bump up the payroll to get a free agent to come, and it won't be a top guy, and then they'll have to make some sort of a trade. You know, what's been really difficult, somebody, and I cannot remember because I would love to give whomever said this to me credit, somebody said that we lost our two best starting pitchers this year, you know, like at different times, right? I mean, I've been a big Paulino fan no matter what, you know, Kevin Goldstein was saying up here a while ago. You know, for this team, he was the best guy in our rotation. He goes down, and before that, Duffy was the best guy, I felt, and he went down. I mean, what team can absorb something like that? And when you have a team like the Royals that had a crap pitching rotation to start the season, and you lose those two guys, I mean, it's a minor miracle that we're going into the All-Star game and we might just be 9.5 games out. So,
well, and it's just what he's saying. You know, if you don't lose those two, then you're looking at next year with Duffy as your ace, Paulino as your two, Odorizzi as your three, Chen as your four, and maybe you get a trade in the midseason that brings, like I said, we'll just stay with Tanner Schwepp since I used that name earlier, you know, and or he'd be your four and then Chen be your five. I mean, that would get you through. So I don't think he has it. I think he needs to be in the bullpen. I've said they need to try him as closer or something. See if he can go Todd Van Poppel.
I've never heard of that guy. Who is he?
Well, you know.
Yeah, he was our opening day starter. That's exactly it. We knew going into this year we were going to be in trouble. But I mean, the Royals knew they were going to – well, the fans knew the Royals
guys,
were going to be
turned the corner. He's turned the corner. I think you're really seeing the real Luka.
I mean, he's turned so the corner. It's a 360,
yeah,
right? It's
exactly.
A circle.
They call
it's
down
not a corner
out there
anymore. It's round.
But, yes, and, I mean, if you could get Hochaver right, then yeah, that helps. But yes. I'm so tired of having to say – to take that question and say – because I think we did this last offseason. It was – so if we can just get this to work over here and then maybe a little bit over here and, oh, just shine that spot. Oh, it's nice and clean. But it's never like that because then you turn around and Lorenzo Cain's hurt and two of your two best pitchers are hurt and your catcher's out for 6 months or for, you know, 3 months or whatever it was. And because he was out, our offense didn't look the same and we've made a really bad trade with the Astros. You know, it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Anybody else got a question?
Life as a Royals fan.
Grog had another one, didn't you? Or it was him. Oh, yeah. No, he hadn't asked one. Hang on. No, you've talked too much. Hang on. Yeah, go ahead.
That problem, and I get that, but that didn't bother me so bad last year because,
bro, that's
yeah, they had such. Excuse me, I got to drop my mic and walk off. Yes, they had the money to spend. And probably should have done something, but last year the Royals weren't going anywhere. Everybody knew that. I mean, I think the team even realized that. And so they had all these young kids you wanted to play and really see what you had. But I thought they could have spent a little better this offseason and because of exactly what you're saying. But I would hope that David Glass would maybe turn around and use some of that money this offseason because it's going to take a big contract to bring a big name starter. And that's what this team needs. Is a big name starter.
You know, one of the overarching things I think this entire season is showing us is that the Royals' message is just so out of tune and out of touch with real fans, and I think we would consider everybody in this room real fans. You know, I mean. You know, from botching FanFest right at the beginning to just 2 days ago when he storms off in a huff about, you know, questions about the future of the this is a team that cannot get out of its own way, I think, and many times.
And they don't know how to present themselves to the public in a good way. And God bless Toby Cook because he's a good man and he does a great job with all that stuff. But he just cannot, you know, again, you're trying to shine up a turd, and he does a great job of it, honestly. But this, you know, they need to get right, and they need to figure out some way to be able to present themselves in a positive light. And Glass just killed himself. in that interview with Parkins.
I think with David Glass, when I look at his failures as an owner, I don't necessarily look at it from the perspective of he's not spending enough money, because I mean, we brought in Jose Guillen for 3 years for $36 million and that tanked, and we brought
Thank
in Gil Mesh for $55 million and that was okay. So it's, you know, it's not necessarily always going to cure everything when you just spend a ton of money. But where I look at him and say, I don't like what David Glass is doing, I look at him as he seems just to me kind of hands off, where, you know, you look at the Rays and their payroll is maybe $5 million more than what the Royals is. And they are just, they're doing incredibly well in one of the toughest division in baseball. What's the difference there? You know, if I'm David Glass, I go to Dayton Moore and I say, hey, listen, we're in the same position that they're in. And same with Baltimore and Pittsburgh and these other teams. What are they doing that we're not? You've had 6 years. You need to figure this out. And if it's bringing somebody in to help make major league trades that make better major league trades, you know, but you can handle the minor league system. If that's what you need to do, you need to do it. But I just don't feel that there's any pressure from David Glass on Dayton Moore any more results.
I'll go one more for you. Maybe there is. Maybe he's got his foot so far up his butt, you know, that he's whistling sunshine. But he doesn't. We don't know that. You know, mixed metaphor. It's fine.
Something.
Where
that was going.
If he would have gone to FanFest on the very first day and stood up on a chair and said, "This crap changes now." Changes the tune. It gives, hell, it buys him 2 more years. But instead he goes, you know, storms off in a huff, and that's now the story. And so there are a lot of things that he could do. He could show up at a game and wave like Mr. Kauffman used to do. He just poke his head out of the box. You remember we went out to Royals games, and the Kauffmans were out there in the box just waving. It goes an awful long way to doing things like that. I was at a game in Northwest Arkansas, and I asked the general manager, Eric Edelstein, I said, so how often do you really see David Glass? He said, he's here quite a bit. You know, and then he stopped himself and says, well, I'm sure he's in Kansas City a lot more. I said, okay, no problem. But, I mean, that's where he lives. That's his home. And that's great. But at the same time, this problem can be fixed so easily by David Glass either being more approachable or selling the team. That'd be great. That'd be
especially
awesome.
Since you've got a group of guys from Cerner, you know, the sporting owners that want to buy the team, and they're local guys, and that's great. And I don't care that he's not here. That doesn't bother me. And going back to your question on the actual spending of the money, you know, yeah, they should have done something more in 2012, but who are you going to get? Because either you way overpay for Roy Oswalt, and he does come here, because Edwin Jackson took less money to not go to the Pirates,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he turned down a multi-year offer.
And he's got to be looking at that now and going, whoops, I may have messed that up, because they're kicking butt, and he could have made more money and still been in a playoff push and an easier
division.
Well,
he's not doing bad for the Nationals either.
No, he's not, but, I mean, I think that's going to be a harder division down the run, don't you think?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the point, is Edwin Jackson wasn't coming here. Roy Oswalt wanted to go to St. Louis. That's the team in Missouri he wanted to play for. It was rumored he wanted to play for a team in Missouri. It wasn't the Royals. It was St. Louis, because he wanted to play for a team that could win this year. And
now he's in Texas.
And he played it perfectly.
Half a year.
He got paid, and he's on probably the best team in baseball, if you know. So I don't think anybody was coming here this year, and I think that's part of the reason that Dayton misplayed the market so badly. That's my personal opinion. Again, I don't have – you know, any insider knowledge more than what I read and a little bit of digging here and there. But sometimes it's a little bit of reading between the lines, and Edwin Jackson laughing at somebody when they saw him in spring or they saw him somewhere in the off season and said, "We can't wait to see you in Kansas City as a member of the Royals." And he laughed. You know, he doesn't want to play here. He wanted to play for the he knew who he wanted to play for. He had a short list, and that's what he did. So I think this year Well, it looked a lot better than it's looking now, but this year was going to be the year that there was going to be all these free agent pitchers, and you were going to be able to go out and spend the money and get them. But then you're seeing what these guys are getting re-signed for. You know, the guy...
Matt Cain.
Matt Cain gets, what, 215? I don't have internet here, so it's $215 million or something for 5 years.
Not insignificant money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Craig, what would you have him do differently?
Going into this season?
Yeah.
I mean, get another starting pitcher or two. I mean, you know, but they set the budgets ahead of time, you know. I mean, and they keep that money all contained within 1 year, right? They don't move it around
right.
so much. So, you know, my issue with Glass is he's done what he's supposed to have done, what he should have done a long time ago when Dayton Moore got here, which is get out of the way and write the checks. And he's been doing that. That's all well and good. But now it is the time where he needs to mm-hmm. turn up the heat and demand results, because we haven't really seen the results. I mean, the minor league system is flourishing, yes, but, you know, we are in year six of the process, and, you know, the win totals
spinning our wheels,
treading water.
You know, all the fans in Kansas City wanted was a 500 team. You get a 500 team, you get 25, 30,000 people at the cave.
It's progress. Everything, it's incremental. You're not going to wake up with this team that has been down for so long and all of a sudden contend. So 500 is a realistic step. It should be a goal. Of course, they can't say that, though, because then they get killed.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. You want to play 500 baseball? That's, you know, you need to contend. You need to win. But really, they need to build and show the progress. And that's always what I've been looking at. I've been looking at the win total. I mean, that needs to increase every season, and we need to see, you know, significant progress. And I don't know that we're going to see that this season because of the inaction of the front office and some other assorted bad decisions, Jonathan Sanchez.
You know, but I won't kill him for that trade.
No,
I'll kill him for leaving Sanchez in the rotation. Yeah. I won't kill him for that trade because nobody thought Melky Cabrera was going to do
that. That was pretty good.
No, I thought that both guys would struggle at their new home. So, you know,
yeah,
and I'm going to see Melky on Tuesday.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think I was going to see
Melky. Never would. If you'd have told me Melky Cabrera was going to be an all-star.
He's not only an all-star, he is an MVP candidate.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean,
that's got to
poor
stink.
Ryan Verdugo is not going to make up the difference on this, because that's how I looked at the trade. It was like, cool, we got a pretty good, you know, low-end starter, possible good reliever in Ryan Verdugo, and a guy that is funny.
His sister's pretty good looking.
Yeah,
so,
and
I
his
mean,
sister, and he's
right
got a good looking sister and a good looking girlfriend. So he's got all that going for him.
And then
if Sanchez turned out to be anything like old Sanchez, that would have been fantastic. That would have been a gift.
Sanchez.
Because Melky Cabrera was going to hit 225 and it wasn't going to matter.
Well, and I think we talked about this last night too, where the added component of that trade that wasn't, you know, part of the actual trade itself was Lorenzo Cain. You know, they gave away Melky Cabrera knowing, hey, we've got someone who at the very least is going to be better defensively in center field. And then, you know, if he can produce anything close to what he did in the minors, then he was going to be just as good as Melky Cabrera and would ultimately be better. So you were freeing up a spot for someone who could be better than him and, you know, getting a couple pitchers who might have some high upside in return. And then next thing you know, Sanchez is awful and Lorenzo Cain can't stay healthy. And, I mean, if Lorenzo Cain was playing center field every day and hitting 300, we probably wouldn't care all that much.
Right, because you had to make a spot.
It's been a horrible domino effect, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You removed the number two hitter from the order from last year, who had a great offensive season that we didn't think could repeat, but can, apparently. And then you have Eric Hosmer struggling. So those two guys, and that's, like, really the difference, right? I mean, because Escobar's playing way above expectations, so you have that. Moustakas is playing
above
expectations all around. But the trade-off there, you know, you can't absorb losing a quality number two hitter and a guy that is supposed to be the big bat in the heart of the order. You we've learned this year that you can't do that.
And then you're left with Jeff Rancourt, who's not doing anything close to what he did last year.
Gritty.
Yep, they just and supposedly Melky was offered the same deal that Francoeur got, and he said no. So they could have option him. They could have kept him here for this year, but you know you have to jump when you have a chance to get something, and they got something. Any other next question?
Not only is Melky a good ball player, he's really smart too. I mean, come on, turning that down.
Obviously,
he's
that worked
pretty
out.
Intelligent.
Well.
He's going to make some money.
Yeah, he is.
What'd you get,
I know Greg had another question.
I think it's opening
well, one
day
of us said he'd see him as an opening day starter.
Well,
not
but also, opening day starter specifically for the Royals doesn't necessarily mean I see him as a number one. So.
Oh, he's done.
I'm off the train.
He's never getting out of AAA. If he does, it'll be
despite
September
the fact that Goldstein said it was stupid to give up on him. I can't bring myself to do it.
I've seen him pitch twice, Greg, and I'm certainly not. I don't have any scouting credentials or anything. His fastball tops out at about 94 miles an hour. He's got good. He's got ridiculously good curveball. So, what do you do with that? I mean, that's why everybody's saying he's pretty much a number three. But he's a really good number three. So, I mean, I said, I've seen him pitch twice. He looks good.
We were saying the same thing about Duffy, and he showed flashes while he was here, but, I mean, it's nothing that was – maybe he was a starter even on the Royals.
Well, I think this is what we find ourselves falling into is that we see the next guy. I mean, the next guy was Hosmer. The next guy was Moustakas. The next guy – you could go on and down the line. You know, it's going to take him a little bit of time. He's not going to come up and throw three perfect games in a row. It's not going to happen. But he is not a Vin Mazzaro, and he is not a Kyle Davies, and he's better than that. He's better than Bruce Chinn, I'd say. He's probably maybe so that a number three, a solid number three starter in baseball, maybe a number two or a number one for the Royals.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you would hear some, Dayton Moore obviously wouldn't say this to anybody, but he, 10 years after the fact might say, maybe we rushed Danny Duffy a little bit because I think that was the time where, Hosmer was already up and he was going crazy. And then, everyone was wanting to get these guys up here and they might have gotten caught up in their own whirlwind. And so Duffy might have gotten rushed just a little bit. And so now we're sitting here saying, why isn't Odorizzi up? Why isn't Odorizzi up? And it's, maybe that's a good sign from the Royals. They're learning from their mistakes saying, hey, he's got stuff he still needs to work on. We don't want the same thing to happen where we come up and, Danny Duffy had a 5.69 ERA last year. So, he had major league experience, but it's not really helping the team much. And it could have adversely affected him. I mean, Duffy's a mentally strong guy, so having struggles like that's not necessarily going to hurt him. But you do have to warn against that for some pitchers.
Duffy's biggest problem is his own head as well. He's just so amped up all the time. Talk to the guy. Look at what he does on Twitter. Look at that Twitter battle he got into that he closed his account over for a few days. He's just so amped. He's so excited about life and everything. And I'm going to shoot this over to Craig and get your opinion. But I think Danny Duffy is a number three starter on a good team, a one or two on the Royals. Greg was kind of saying that he doesn't see that from Duffy. I mean, what's your opinion of Duffy and Odorizzi?
Well, I thought that Duffy was improving as the year went along. I mean, we all knew he was trying to be too fine and was putting a lot of pressure on himself to make the pitch. And he needed to learn how to pitch at the major league level, which is why a guy like Odorizzi coming up, it's necessary to get him in right now while the Royals are developing, building, looking to next year again. But, Duffy is a guy that, he's not a number one, and neither is Odorizzi, but if the team can just fill that rotation with two, three, or four guys that are middle of the rotation kind of guys, you've got a pretty successful rotation because there aren't many teams that have solid starters one through five, guys where you're, really, really happy with. Every starter, every game that they take them out. Odorizzi, he's got to come through for us now. I mean, there's so much pressure on this kid because, we've lost so much. Duffy's got to come back from that surgery, but he's not going to be right next year when he comes back. He's going to take time to get his command back, and we saw what happens when he doesn't have his command. We saw that last year. Duffy was the one guy that I was really, really looking forward to watching this year because I thought that this was kind of the year that he was going to, progress and move towards the front of that rotation. I do a lot of writing about fantasy baseball, and somebody a while ago clued me in on young pitchers. I said it was like 300 innings, right, where, that's when you get kind of that's when they're figuring it out, the first 300 innings, which could be like the first 2 years, right, the way that the teams manage the innings now. So, we've lost a lot of development time for Duffy now, and Odorizzi's going to need that same kind of development time. And so, the Royals, you know, it's too bad that the imbalance is such, right? The hitters are so far ahead of the pitchers in the minor league system that, you know, I mean, that's why really if Dayton doesn't feel this sense of urgency right now, he should.
He really needs to. Yeah, what I like about Odorizzi is last year he went from Wilmington to Northwest Arkansas. And he really struggled in Double-A, but then he came in this year, started out really well in Double-A, made the move to Omaha, and he hasn't seen a lot of the same struggles. So I think that hints that maybe he's picking it up. As far as upside, yeah, I mean, he's a middle-of-the-road kind of guy, which is kind of as best we can do for the Royals right now unless we go out and get somebody. So it puts the Royals in a weird spot, but, you know, it's a lot better than throwing Lou Kochaver all the time. I think he'd be better than Lou Kochaver, which isn't saying a lot, but, you know, you look at Kochaver's hype and what he did and some of his bright spots and his peripheral numbers, Odorizzi can be better than that.
I'll also look at it as part of another picture where it's that he's part of that Greinke trade, right, which we've got Escobar right now. So that's kind of a win, isn't it? I mean, right now the trade looks good, which that's a good mark on Dayton's record because he hasn't made a lot of trades where the Royals would be what you would classify as the winners. I mean, he hasn't made a lot of real high-profile trades. That's really the problem. He hasn't traded anything of value. Well, I mean, you know, aside from Greinke, you know, who else has he dealt that, you know?
And I count the Greinke trade as a win because, especially if Kane ever gets healthy, then you're going to get three out of the four guys you got back as
potentially,
major league. You know, and I don't know if Jeremy Jeffers ever gets right. He's another guy that his head is his own problem. If he could just get right, he could be an amazing reliever. You know, that fastball's off the hook. Could you imagine him and Herrera both coming out of the pen? Oh, Lord be with those hitters. But it's just not going to happen. You know, and I think going back to the earlier question to kind of wrap up on this topic, we can't shine it for 2013, but you could kind of shine it for 2014 using that big if word that we always have to use as Royals fans. You know, if Kochaver can figure it out, you know, then you could have Kochaver and you could have Lamb and Paulino and Duffy and Odorizzi, and that is a rotation that could probably get you 500 to 90 wins.
Maybe.
Possibly.
If things go right.
Yeah.
And then the bullpen probably gets hurt.
And then the next year we could actually compete for the playoffs. So we're really targeting 2015.
Mission 2019 starts today.
That's what we're talking about.
And I'm not, and I can't do that anymore. Yeah, that's, you know, that's when it gets scary is when you start looking at where the end of the Hosmer-Moustakas line is, and all of a sudden the pitching's not ready until then, and then you're going, well.
When the Bubba era begins, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So did anybody have anything else on that topic before we move on? Okay, we got about eight minutes left, so we'll probably, the way that we're long-winded, we probably got time for about one more question.
Maybe half a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys are, first of all, thank you all for coming.
Not running away.
Very much so. We are also going to do another podcast tonight at the Flying Saucer at 7 o'clock. You guys are more than welcome to come down and have a beer. We're going to be doing it from about 7 to 9, and then we're going to move the party over to Kelly's, Westport Inn. Kelly's has been an outstanding sponsor of our podcast big fan of kind of new media in general, so
they get it.
Certainly welcome to come down. We're gonna end in 49 Stones, which is a kind of our favorite band on the podcast. They're gonna be playing later, so you guys are more than welcome to come down. I don't know if you guys are going to Fan Fest or just gonna kind of hang around Power and Light or just gonna go home and take a nap, which is maybe what I might do. But you guys are more than welcome to come out, and we cannot thank you enough for coming in and supporting not only our podcast, but Baseball Perspectives Up and In, all the guys that Mr. Hamrahi set up for us today, and special thanks to the Gym Theater and the Negro Leagues Museum. Actually, that's what you should do. You should go tour the museum right now and then come down to Flying Saucer. So,
and a big thank you to Craig Brown for his involvement in the last couple of years with Baseball Perspectives as well to have had it already there last year to where they had a connection, and then it made it a lot easier when I said to Joe, hey, if you need anything, let me know. We'd be glad to help. And then everything just fell right. And I think to have, if obviously you people care enough about the Royals and bloggers to sit here and listen to us talk, and we appreciate that a lot, and we can't say that enough because it's really not fun to talk to each other. We can do that over beers, but if we're going to do this, we need people to listen, and it's awesome that you guys stuck around to listen to our portion because we're not nearly as cool as the first two panels. But, you know, Craig has laid a lot of work in getting this together, and I'm super excited for what's going to happen with Royals Review right now. And I know the great thing is I'm good friends with Bill Ivey, who runs I-70 Baseball, and he said one time that the great thing about blogs is it's not like you're buying Time Magazine and People Magazine. You're clicking on Mike's article, and then you're clicking on Jeff's article, and then you're clicking on Craig's article, and then you go listen to the Royal Man Report, and it costs you nothing. And everybody wins. And that's the great thing about blogging and the great thing about the way that the Kansas City fan base is you really do read everything. And you're out there in every part of it. Was there any last questions? Otherwise, we can kind of break it down.
Sure, yeah. Go for it.
And more on his note, I'm not positive, but I think a membership to the museum for a year is only like $10 or $15. It's $8 a time to go into that place, which is great, and it's worth going to more than once. And so you can drop $10 or $15, which is, you know, two beers at Power and Light, you know, a really
Without
big
tip.
Beer and a little beer at Kelly's. You know, you can, for $15 or less than $15, I think it is, you can join the museum and really be a part of something special. And they have some great things going on over there. We've got a couple of memberships between this group, and it allowed me a discount to go and meet Ozzie Smith and Frank White. And I had met Frank White, but growing up in central Nebraska, Ozzie Smith was a hero of mine. Before I really settled on a team, I loved the Wizard of Oz. And so to have an opportunity through the museum to meet him was fantastic. Craig, what's coming up with Royals Review and all that fun stuff?
We're just going to kind of keep on keeping on, I think. You know, we got the writing staff in place, and it's looking good. The transition's gone pretty smoothly so far. So, you know, we're just going to try and keep moving forward, maintain momentum, as they say. So thanks for having me on the podcast. Let me crash the show, and I need one of these
Anytime,
shirts.
Anytime, man.
The shirts.
Get you a discount at Best Buy.
Yeah, PSA Prez made us some great shirts, but Mike says they look like a Best Buy shirt.
I feel like I need to sell some people the extended warranty. That's what it is.
Mike, anything coming up at Kings Coffin we need to know about?
Yeah, there's all kinds of different All-Star game footage, looking at kind of past All-Stars and the Futures game. There's a lot of stuff on Kings Coffin for that. There's a nice link up the top for the All-Star game with all kinds of different information. Some more of that coming tonight, and then, you know, obviously coverage of the game itself. So,
and check out ramblingmorons.com for all of Chris's work, but you can also go to echonetwork.com, EKOH, which is our initials, EKOHnetwork.com, and it actually has a feeder that feeds all the articles for all these great writers. I can't write, I just talk. But yes, again, thank you to the gym. Thank you to Larry. He's an amazing sound guy.
Frank.
Thank you so much. Thank you,
George.
Thank you to you folks for sticking around for us, and we're the Royal Man Report. He's Craig Brown, and we're out of here. Go